All right, well, good evening again. So last week we talked about serving God, and this week we're going to continue on that as well. So just a quick overview for some of you that weren't here last week. First of all, I talked about what does it mean to serve God. Well, a basic definition to serve God means the way we live in our thoughts and our words and our actions must all be an act of service to God. And I also looked at the fact that serving God is not a one-time event, but it's a daily choice each of us have to make personally. And then I also looked at three reasons why we should serve God. The first reason I mentioned is because God commands us to serve Him. And the second reason was because Jesus died for us. That's a good reason to serve Him. And the third reason was God made us and He'll judge the way we live. So this evening, I want to start off with a question again. The question is, how can we serve God? So we talked before, what does it mean to serve God and why we should serve Him. Now I want to talk about how we can serve Him. Last week we looked at the fact that God gives us a free will, a choice of who we're going to serve in this life. It could be for ourselves, it could be for God. You know, a true Christian should want to live a life pleasing to God. But if they don't want to live a life to God and serve Him and please Him, you know, something's wrong in their heart. We should each look at our own heart and ask ourselves that question. You know, if we only do something for God because we have to do it or because we're told to do it, but in our hearts we don't really want to do it, you know, we're better off not doing anything instead. Because otherwise we're just living a life of hypocrisy. And you know, God, remember I mentioned last week that God sees our heart. We can't hide anything from Him. So tonight, I mentioned how can we serve God. And tonight I want to look at five important ways we can serve God. Five important ways we can serve God. So the first way we can serve God I want us to look at, very important, probably the most important way, is giving yourself to God. Giving yourself to God. And that's what I want to talk about first. Sorry about that. Giving yourself to God is the first step to serving God. It's a humble and sacrificial choice that has to be made from our own heart. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Now the word bodies there is, it's not just referring to our physical body, but it's really referring to our entire being. And that includes things like our words and our actions, our emotions and our spirit and our mind. Just every part of us has to be sacrificed to the Lord. You know, basic definition of giving yourself to God is putting away your own selfish desires and choosing to live for Christ no matter what the circumstances and doing whatever God wants you to do for His glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, God created us for His glory. Our very existence is so we can serve God and bring glory and honor to Him. And so, you know, if we want to serve God, the first thing we have to do is give ourselves to God. You know, the reason I put this as my first choice is because that's where it all starts. You know, it all starts in our own hearts and humbling ourselves. You know, we have to humble ourselves first and be willing to do whatever God wants us to do. You know, the biggest thing stopping us from serving God is a selfish pride. It's a selfishness. We don't want to give our own life away because we want to do what we want to do. Now, if we're going to serve God, we must first humble ourselves. And what I want us to do, I want us to turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I want us to just see a verse here. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, we can get a lot of good principles from that verse. God was talking to Israel, I believe, in that verse, but I honestly believe that could apply to us exactly the same way today. And another verse I want us to quickly look at is 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. And it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And it says there, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And that's where it starts. That's the first choice. If we're going to, you know, commit in our heart that we're going to serve the Lord, we have to first humble ourselves before Him and be willing to actually do what He wants us to do in the first place. And then the second way we can serve God, the second way we can serve God is by developing a relationship with God. That's very key as well, developing a relationship with God. You know, to start serving God, you have to discover who God is to you. Is your relationship with God something you fall back on in your time of need? Or is he someone you communicate with every day? You know, we shouldn't just talk to God because we need something from him. Or because, you know, we should want to spend time with God because we want to, because we love him. We want to spend time with him daily. You know, whether we need something or not, or whether it's a good time or a bad time, we should always want to talk to God. You know, the better we know God, the more we would want to live for his glory. James 4:7-10 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. You know, the closer we draw to God, the closer he'll draw to us. You know, God wants us to draw close. You know, God wants to draw closer to us. But we have to first draw closer to him. You know, the closer we draw to God, the better we'll understand his will for our life, you know. You know, the more time we spend with him and the more we spend time in his word and learning who God is, the better we'll be able to discern God's will. And we also need God's strength and help. You know, without him, we can do nothing. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. 1 Peter 4:11 also says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. You know, God wants us to rely on him for strength every day so he can get all the glory. You know, if we try and serve God in our own strength, we'll fail. It's just as simple as that. And you know, if we try and serve God as well in our own strength, it kind of takes the glory away from God. You know, we're saying, oh, God, you're not good enough. You know, I need to do it to my own strength. And if we do that, we're going to fail. It's as simple as that. You know, we need God's strength. All right. And the third way we can serve God, a third point I want us to look at as well tonight is praying to God. You know, prayer can strengthen our walk and relationship with God. We need to spend time in prayer. The more time we spend in prayer talking to God, the more our relationship with God will grow. You know, and the better we'll be able to know, again, what God's will is for our life. We need to spend time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And I can imagine why it says that, because we need to pray every day. You know, living a godly life involves a lot of prayer. You know, praying for forgiveness of sins, praying for wisdom and guidance, and praying for others like our pastor and our missionaries. They need our prayer. And, you know, God can help them, but we have to pray. We have to pray to that end. And then we can pray for help to strengthen us. We need strength. Everybody needs strength. And like I mentioned before, if we try and do it in our own strength, we're going to fail. And we're going to fail really miserably. You know, it's God's desire that we spend time in prayer. Hebrews 11:6 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of God, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help, or to help in time of need. You know, prayer is described in the Bible as seeking God's favor, pouring out one's soul to the Lord, crying out to heaven, drawing near to God, and kneeling before the Father. You know, God also wants us to come to him in faith. Hebrews 11:16 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if we're going to serve God, we must believe who God is. We have to. And that is able to help us, but we have to diligently seek him first. And the best way we can do that is through prayer, spending time in prayer and getting to know who God is. I also want us just to quickly turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I want us to see a verse there. James chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Verse 5 to 8. And it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, you know, we need, if we're going to pray to God, we need to pray in faith and believe that he is able to help us. Because he is. He's a strong and powerful God. We see that throughout the whole Bible. So that's a very important thing. We need to spend time in prayer if we're going to get to know God. And the fourth way I want us to see how we can serve God, the fourth way is to worshiping and giving thanks to God. I think that's very important as well. You know, it kind of, in my opinion, goes hand in hand with praying to God, is we also need to spend a lot of time worshiping and giving thanks to God. We talked a little bit about that last week, how much, you know, Christ has done for us. He died on the cross for us, and he created us, and he gives us all these blessings every day. And we need to spend a lot of time giving thanks to God. You know, God is so good to us. He helps us and he cares for us. The least we can do is worship him and thank him for all he's done. You know, God wants us to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God also wants us to worship him. Psalm 95:6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down." Let us come worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You know, worshiping God should not be a chore. It shouldn't be a chore for us to worship God. It should be a privilege and a delight. You know, God deserves all the glory and praise and honor. Psalm 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." Psalm 96:9 says, "I worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him all the earth." You know, worshiping God is not just at church. A quote by Charles Spurgeon, he said, "All places are places of worship to a Christian. Wherever he is, he ought to be in a worshiping frame of mind." You know, it's so true. You know, worshiping God is also good because it humbles us down. You know, it humbles us down to our knees and lifts up the Lord. You know, God hates pride. And if we're going to serve God, we must have humility. Remember James 4:10? Remember we said earlier, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I also want us to turn again on James 1:9. You'll see there, it says, James 1:9, it says, "Let a brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted." You know, that's a good verse because it just shows God hates pride. And you know, the more we humble ourselves down, the more the Lord can show his strength through us. And in doing that, others will see that in our lives as well. And they'll see Christ in our lives, which is actually a very good way we can, you know, be a good testimony to others, is showing Christ's strength in us, our lives, not our own strength. Because, as I mentioned before, if we try and do it in our own strength, we're going to fail. So worshiping and giving thanks to the Lord is a good way of serving him. Now, the fifth way we can serve God, and probably one of the most important ways, in my opinion, is evangelism, sharing the gospel. And that's really what I want to, key point I want to focus on tonight, is evangelism. Now, I believe when you look at the Bible as a whole, and you see the lives of people, especially the people in the New Testament and the ministry Jesus had on earth, I honestly believe the most important and the most profitable way we can serve God is to share the gospel with others. You know, share the good news that Jesus died for our sins, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, God wants us to share the gospel with the world. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And the word "go" there, it's not a suggestion. Again, we talked a little bit about this last week, but there's verses in the Bible where it's God's not suggesting we do that. They're saying, you know, maybe if you feel like it and you have time, do it. No, he says, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, this verse does apply to us today. A lot of people are probably thinking, you know, God, Jesus was speaking to them back then. But this verse does apply to us today. And why? Well, because there's more lost people today than there was back then. And, you know, if Jesus told the people back then, go and preach the gospel to every creature, I certainly think that applies to us today. I mean, you just look out in the world, there's millions and millions of untold people out there that need to hear the gospel. Or at least need to be, I suppose, convinced of the gospel. A lot of people have heard the gospel, but, you know, they don't want to believe it. But it doesn't mean we should quit. It doesn't mean we should quit at all. We should keep striving for that. Matthew 9:47 says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, this is definitely something we need to pray about daily. I honestly think this is a big thing that's being overmissed by us, because honestly, that's one of our main purposes here in life, is to share the gospel, and God wants us to pray to that end, pray earnestly. You know, the biggest problem today is not a lack of laborers, but rather laborers that don't want to do anything. You know, I honestly think, I mean, you see in the Bible how God sometimes just used one person to share the gospel to millions, well, not millions, but you know, a big, big group of people. And you know, you look at us, our group, we might be a small group, but if each of us just really, you know, really strive to share the gospel, we can reach a lot of people. And again, we must pray that God will use us and give us more courage and boldness to share the gospel. You know, I think Pastor mentioned this a little, not too long ago. He mentioned that, you know, we shouldn't just pray to God that he'd send somebody else. Or, you know, don't send my kids, or don't send me, but yes, God, send somebody else. But I think that's almost the wrong attitude. We should rather ask God, you know, use me instead. Use me instead. Or send me, if it's your will. And again, this kind of goes back to my first point, that we have to be willing first to do whatever God wants us to do. Because if we're not, it's disobedience. And Pastor Hustler once said, there's a field that needs to be harvested. The field can be rough, it can be hard, dangerous, and rude, but it's still there. And we have a lot of work to do. You know, that's so true. As I thought about that, the field is kind of referring to the unsaved people. And, you know, it can be hard and people can be mean. They can push us down and say nasty things to us, but it doesn't change the fact. There's still lost people, and we still need to strive in every way we can to share the gospel with them. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust, with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. You know, we should not share the gospel just to please men, but rather to please the Lord. You know, it might seem like a silly thing, like, well, sharing the gospel to please men. But, you know, if you sometimes just take a look at somebody's churches, and I'm not pointing names at anybody, but, you know, you look at these mega churches, and the churches are full of people, and I mean, you just see the people, and it's almost like their entire focus is on money, and trying to please men with their words, and trying to just entice people. But they completely leave the gospel out, and that doesn't bring glory and honor to God. Galatians 1:10 also says, "For I think Paul was speaking here, and he says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be a servant to Christ." You know, Paul said, if I have pleased men, I'm not a servant of God. You know, that really should stand out to us a lot. You know, if our whole focus is, you know, I'm just doing it again, like because we're told to do it, or because we're trying to please someone, or, you know, please somebody else, perhaps. Our focus is way off. You know, that's not the right attitude that we should have. We should do it all because we're serving God. And, you know, that song we sing, a Christian soldier. We're a soldier of God. We're in God's army. And we've got to keep that in remembrance. Serving God is also doing what he wants, not what we want. You know, we should each look at our own hearts and ask the same question. Am I trying to please man or God? You know, when we share the gospel with others, does it glorify and lift up Christ? Or does it glorify ourselves? It's a very important question. This isn't just in sharing the gospel. This is just in our general Christian life. Everything we do, what is it bringing glory to? Is it for God, or is it for ourselves? We should constantly keep that in focus. Remember what Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I think that's a great verse we should focus on every day. And that is the purpose of this life on earth, doing what God wants. I also just want us to quickly turn to Philippians chapter 1. I want us to just quickly see another verse there. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. I was actually meant to say that. That is just for the verse, for me to live as Christ and to die as Cain. But that's alright. At least now we know where it is. Alright. I saw a quote the other day, and it really made me think. It said, we ought to be living as if Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back this afternoon. You know, if we just lived with that philosophy and that mindset, you know, I honestly believe it would make a great difference in our life. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." You know, God wants us to be ready for his coming. You know, and so that we're not ashamed before him. You know, he can come back any minute. He can come back now. I mean, just ask yourself, if God had to come back right now, where is our heart with God? You know, that's a very important question. That's something we need to just grasp in our mind, that Christ could come back any minute, any second. So it's very important to keep our focus on that. You know, as another point I want us to see is most of the time, we know what God wants us to do. You know, a lot of times, it's not like we're ignorant. We know what God wants us to do. Sadly, most Christians know what God wants them to do. They just choose not to do it. And, you know, I'm speaking to myself here, for sure. You know, it's a lot of times, it's not because we're ignorant and we didn't know that God wants us to do that. We know he wants us to do that. And that's something we should also focus on. Ephesians 2:9 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You know, sometimes or most of the time we just make excuses. You know, excuses like, "I'm too busy," or "I'm too shy or scared. I don't know how." You know, especially when it comes to sharing the gospel. These are usually the kind of excuses we would try and make. Sometimes it's laziness. And then sometimes it's a lack of faith. That's a big one. Lack of passion for souls. And anger towards people. You know, I can sometimes we're angry towards people, so we don't want to share the gospel with them. Sometimes it's greediness. Well, I guess you could say selfishness and pride. And our friends. I think of friends, especially for young people, this is a big one. You know, 2 Corinthians 6:14 is just that verse where it says, "And be not unequally yoked with unbelievers." And I know, I think he was talking about, and when it comes to marriage, but at the same time, even our friends, you know, they can have a big, big influence on our life. And we shouldn't be friends of the world, because otherwise we're enemies of God. It kind of reminds me of another verse where it says something, we can't walk, I can't remember, it left my mind, but it doesn't matter. You know, if our friends hinder us from serving God, it's better we just leave our friends rather, because the things of God is far more important. And also, God doesn't want us to make excuses. You know, we can't expect God to bless us when we try and share the gospel with others in our own lives, and if we know we're still living in sin. You know, we can't expect God to use us in some miraculous way if we know that there's things in our life that we should confess. And I mean, God can still use anybody, but at the same time, I honestly believe God could use us more if we completely stay away from sin and keep it out of our lives. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectations, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You know, Paul didn't let his past sins stop him from sharing the gospel. He pushed on and served God with his life. I mean, you know the story of Paul and all the things he did, but that he didn't let that sit there in his focus and just constantly thinking about all the bad things he did. He decided to push on and live for the Lord. A great example of that is also Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. It says, "This then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." And basically what he was saying there, he was trying not to speak about what God told him to say. But he couldn't keep it in anymore. He had to speak. Notice he says, "But his words was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." You know, and, you know, if only we felt the same way about warning others of the coming judgment. You know, if we had that same passion and that fire inside of us, that we could just grasp the truth and realize that we're all going to stand before God one day. Everybody, you know, the people we see at work, our friends, our family, now, everybody's going to go to a destination one day, and we definitely don't want anybody to go to hell. You know, again, what a difference that would make in our lives and in the lives of others if we just had that passion to share the gospel. Another thing is people need to see Christ in our lives. I think this is also a very important one. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God is light. We should let our light shine so others can see God in us. You know, I think this is just a great way for everybody to be able to share Christ in just letting our light shine. Imagine we lived life so Christ-like that people could just take one look at us and say, there's a Christian. That person is something different about them. Not in a bad way, but a good way. People need to see, like, that's something I need. And, you know, just, you look at people out in this world today, and, you know, you can see they're striving for something. Even the people I see at work, they might not say that, but you can just see it in their lives. There's something really lacking. You know, they're constantly talking about doing this and doing this and anything to keep them occupied. But I honestly believe they're just lacking God. They need the Lord. And, you know, thankfully, most of us have trusted Christ as our Savior, and we have that blessing of knowing Christ. Matthew 5:13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men." And, you know, as Christians, that should not be describing our lives. I remember Titus 1:16. Sorry, I think I lost my place here. Yeah, remember Titus 1:16, it says, "They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate." Or simply, I think the word means like good for nothing. I mean, he says they profess that they know God, but in their works, in the things they do, they deny him. And I should definitely not be describing our lives. But I know I definitely speak for myself. That's definitely something I have to work on, because people watch our lives every day. And, you know, if we're not careful, we just make a mistake. People see that. That's the first thing they notice. It's always your mistakes, not your good side. You know, as Christians, it's our job to share the gospel. This is also a big one. It's our job. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You know, if we don't share the gospel with the lost, no one will. Who's going to do it? You know, if it's our job to do it, if we can't just expect the pastor or the missionaries to do it, because if it was just them, nobody would hear the gospel. A little handful. You know, we need. That's how. I mean, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you know how to lead someone to Christ. I mean, you can't trust Christ but not know how to tell somebody else to trust Christ. That doesn't make any sense. You know, we don't have an excuse. We have to share the gospel in any way we can. You know, I thought to ponder on, the greatest need for people is to know that they need Christ. That's people's greatest need. Well, they need Christ, but that is their need, to know that they need Christ. We need to tell them. It's our job to tell the lost. And just something I want to almost close up on here. It says this world is not our home. That's something we need to focus on. You know, we're not living for this world. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18 says, "For our light affliction, which is for but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, this world is not our home. We are here to serve God. That's our purpose in life. You know, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I think that's a very important one. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because, I mean, we could go around saying, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, and we might be, but if our whole philosophy and our focus in life is just living for what we want to do, and, you know, we're kind of just half-heartedly serving God, you know, we're going to be judged for that. We're not going to have, I guess we're going to say, we're going to be almost ashamed when we go to heaven, because Christ is going to look at our life and say, look at all this time you had. You had all these years, and this is the little few things you did for me. And the things that you did do is kind of half-hearted. And that should definitely not be said about us. I pray that would not be said about us. Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, that's a good verse, because he says there, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I believe you were talking about this just on Sunday, how, you know, the things, I honestly believe that if we just look at our life and see the things we spend most of our time with, and I'm not talking about like our job and things like that, I just mean our personal things, that we dedicate our time to. That's usually the things we put all our devotion and time into, and our hearts on those things. And you know, if we look at our own life, and when I look at my own life, and I ask myself, you know, what am I spending all my time doing? Is it for God, or is it for myself? And that's a very important question. You know, the things we spend most of our time doing is where our heart is. God wants us to set our affections on things above, not on this earth. Remember, this life is temporary. We live for what will last. Remember James 1:9-10? Let me just get that again. James 1:9-10 says, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted." Oops, sorry. "But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away." And that's a good verse, because he's talking about the rich person there and how he's going to pass away like grass. And it's here for one moment, gone the next. And that's kind of how life is. And we definitely should not live for this earth. Remember what pastor used to always say, "Heaven and earth may pass, but only what's done for Christ shall last." That's very important. Now, I just want to quickly do an overview, and then I'll say some few more things here. So, we looked at, first of all, five important ways that we can serve God. The first was giving yourself to God. I honestly believe that's the first step, giving yourself to God. Because, I mean, we might be saved, but if we haven't come to that place where we're fully surrendering ourselves to Christ, only half-heartedly, I don't think that's a good thing. I really think we need to fully surrender our life to God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. And then we looked at developing a relationship with God. And that's also key. That kind of goes hand in hand with giving yourself to God, is developing a relationship with Him. Remember that verse, "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you." You know, God promises if we draw closer to Him, He will draw closer to us. And we need that. We definitely need Christ in our lives, every one of us, because in our own strength we'll fail. And then we looked at praying to God. I think that almost goes hand in hand again with developing a relationship with God. Because the more time we spend in prayer, talking to God, the better we'll get to know Him. Now, pray without ceasing. Come boldly unto the throne of God. We need God's help. Every one of us do. And then we looked at worshiping and giving thanks to God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. God wants us to give thanks to Him. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. I mean, God, He's the creator of this universe. He created us all. He's given us this day. He's given us our life. And we owe Him everything. And He's also, if I believe so, given us, we've trusted Him as our Savior. And that's something we can rejoice in. And then we looked at evangelism. I think, you know, honestly, the reason I put this as my last thing, because I believe all the others kind of goes hand in hand with what I first mentioned about giving ourselves to God. And I believe that's where it starts. And if we're doing that, I honestly believe the main thing we need to be striving for in this life, a main thing, is sharing the gospel. Because, I mean, Jesus came to this earth to minister unto other people. That was his mission. I mean, he did come to die for sinners, of course. But in all the other time he was here, what was he doing? He was sharing the gospel. That's all he was doing. It was his ministry. Even his disciples, and like I mentioned before, you know, you see the people in the New Testament, their main theme, you know, when you read their stories, is all about sharing the gospel. That was what they did. God wants us to share the gospel of this world. Remember, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Serving God is doing what He wants, not what we want. That's a big one. You know, for me to live as Christ and to die as King. You know, if only we had that philosophy, not just the outside, but in our hearts. And again, most of the time we know what God wants us to do. You know, of course there's specific things. I mean, like, what's God's will for me to do for this year? And does He want me to maybe go to the mission field and things like that? But I mean, specifically when it comes to, you know, especially the things we see in God's word and the overall picture, you know, we know what God wants us to do. We don't have an excuse. And also, people need to see Christ in our lives. Let your light shine for Christ. And this is something we can all do. Any of us can do that. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, that's something we can do. And as Christians, it's our job to share the gospel. Remember what I said, if we don't, no one will. It's very important. If we don't, no one will. And then we looked at this world is not our home. We're not living for this world. I mean, I could go home tonight and get in a car accident. And then if I go to heaven, And I look back at my life and I think, you know, what did I do for Christ? Was it just a show? Or was it truly, truly serving God with our hearts? And lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So, and I just want to read, I did this kind of last week, but I want to read another song here throughout the lifeline. The words in this is just really good. I just want to read this to you. It says, throw out the lifeline across the dark wave. There is a brother whom someone should save. Somebody's brother, or who then will dare to throw out the lifeline, his peril to share? Throw out the lifeline with hand quick and strong. Why do you tarry? Why linger so long? See, he is sinking. Oh, hasten today, and out with the lifeboat, away then away. Throw out the lifeline to danger-fraught men, sinking in an anguish where you've never been. Winds of temptation and billows of woe will soon hurl them out where the dark waters flow. Soon will the season of rescue be o'er. Soon will they drift to eternity's shore. Haste then, my brother, no time for delay, but throw out the lifeline and save them today. That's a great song. I've really been pondering about that song. Just reminds me every time that there's people out there that are lost and dying every day and going to hell. And it's our job. We have the gospel freely given to us. It's in the Bible. And we, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have it in yourself to be able to share the gospel with somebody. And we have to do that. And then just something extra I want to add. I didn't have on my slide here. You know, we can learn a great from Jesus' example. If you look at Mark 10:45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So the question is, what are we going to do for our part? You know, I mean, you see the people in the Bible and all the things they did, and they died for Christ. They literally were so dedicated to sharing the gospel for Christ. They literally sacrificed their own life, in a sense, because they knew that if they're going to share the gospel, you know, they could be persecuted or even executed. And thankfully, it's a blessing that we have such freedom today to be able to, for example, knock on somebody's door and try and share the gospel to them. Or maybe tell a friend or tell someone we know. We're not going to get persecuted for that. I mean, they might not like it. They might call us some names, but we still have that freedom. You know, let's be servants of God and let us minister unto others to show them the way of salvation. Let that really, if you haven't learned anything tonight, I guess make your theme in your life. Just take someone and just try and share the gospel to them. Just try. And if you can just go to heaven and you see just one person you've led to Christ, just one person at least, that would be such a blessing to your heart. And I honestly just believe if we had that motivation, it would make a great difference in our life. Big difference. So that's all I wanted to say tonight. Think about the things we learned. Think about the points. I hope some of you took notes perhaps. So if you can't, I can give you a copy of this paper or something. But think about the key points. Think about in your own heart where it starts and where are you standing with God. You know, have you come to that point where you've fully surrendered to Him and are you willing to do what He wants you to do? Are you still clinging onto something? And, you know, sometimes it's not just our hobbies or something, but sometimes it's sinful things. You know, I know in my life there's a lot of things I know I need to work on daily. You know, and sometimes, like I mentioned last week, it's not sometimes that we're doing something wrong, but it's that we're not doing some of the stuff Christ wants us to do. And I think that's a big thing that people miss. You know, I mean, Jesus and God told us so many times, go out into the world and share the gospel. And that's our job. That's our mission. So that's all I want to do. I'm just going to close in prayer. And we'll finish here. Dear Lord, I just thank you for things you've helped me to share with others tonight. And Lord, I ask that we would be able to just take home something tonight, something that could be an encouragement to us and that would perhaps motivate us and just strengthen us and push on for you. And Lord, I'd ask that you please help us to make that first step of surrendering to you and humbling ourselves and drawing closer to you, Lord, that we'll be able to truly serve you in the way you want us to serve you, and that we'll just live a life that pleases you and brings glory to your name. And Lord, also that you just help us then to be able to share the gospel with others, and that we would strive to just be able to share the gospel with at least one person in our life, and that we'll just also let our light shine, and that we'd be staying close to you, and that others would see Christ in our lives. And Lord, that you just use us tonight, as each one of us here, that Lord, you'd use us in some way this week, whether it be in our words or just in our example, that you'd please help us to be able to share Christ with others. And Lord, just be with us now throughout the rest of this evening. Please bless our prayer time, and that we just help us to keep the focus on you tonight, and just remember the things we've learned as we go home. And Lord, I ask this all in your name alone. Amen.